Hello and welcome to the Performance Podcast for Monday the 4th of December. Join me on this edition, Assistant Editor Steve Withers.
You are the very smart or incredibly stupid.
News Editor Mark Hodgkinson.
I need sugar, I'm getting cranky.
Audio Reviewer Ed Selly.
Brave new world out there, at least it better be.
And special guest Mark Botwright.
I do a little cross-dressing on the weekends.
I'll tell you what, the state of the acting has just gone straight downhill. I mean, what is it, guys? I mean, you were excellent a couple of weeks ago.
I'm learning my panto lines. I'm sorry, I haven't got any spare capacity at the moment.
You're in panto?
My bollocks. I've had to do one Christmas concert with my wife.
Oh, yes, he is.
To be fair, I mean, that is a cross-dresser's, you know, that is the most acceptable time of the year for cross-dressing, isn't it?
I don't know, Ed. You obviously have experience of this.
I have experience of panto. Not experience of cross-dressing, you know. Although I do have quite convincing tits, so, you know, maybe I'm missing out.
Yeah, so we enter December. 'Tis the season to be jolly.
Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Ebenezer Hinton is upset.
At least I think people have taken a hint and not sent me any Christmas cards. Although advent calendars, I'm quite into advent calendars, especially if they've got chocolate in them. Send them.
Have you seen the pork scratching ones that Selfridges does?
No, I don't like pork scratchings.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Pork scratching Christmas advent calendar.
I'm sorry, that's the greatest invention I've seen since the wheel.
Yeah, but pork scratchings is a very specific snack. It's a bar snack.
No, yeah, I think
does it come with beer as well then, Ed?
Well, Ed's always got I've always got beer on hand if I need it. But no, I think you're underselling the pork scratching there. It's something for all seasons. There's the farmer's market near my parents. There's one guy that sells them, and they've been like treated in Naga Viper chilies. So you get a massive endorphin and fat rush at the same time. They're just the dirtiest, best snack food in the history of the universe.
That sounds good, actually.
I know. They're fantastic. The only problem is if you eat the whole bag, you get kind of
a hole through your stomach.
It makes a mess, yeah. Got to be honest. But it cleans you out good and proper. And you will, if you think you have a head cold, you won't after eating a couple of those. There is nothing that clears the head faster. So health and vitality tips by me there.
Yeah, interesting. What was that? I've lost my train of thought now. Ed. Thanks for that.
Christmas something or other, blah blah blah, advent, blah blah blah,
Attenborn, blah blah blah. I had my first currywurst the other day at a Christmas market.
Ooh,
any good?
Currywurst, I love currywurst.
Absolutely lovely. But the bloke gave me a bun as well, and I didn't know what I was supposed to do with it.
Oh, I've never had a bun with currywurst before.
It's because he was, you know, serving just regular hot dogs and stuff like that as well, and so he gave me the bun as well. So I kind of sat down thinking, well, do I kind of pour it into the bun, or do I, you know, or is that just to kind of like mop it up at the end?
If you're doing currywurst properly, then it's just chips, sausage, and curry powder, and tomato sauce. That's currywurst done properly.
I didn't get chips.
Well, you haven't done currywurst.
Seek a refund, man.
You sounded foreign.
But you sound German, more to the point.
Well, you know. Maybe a bit more Turkish or something, but it still looked pretty authentic to me. There was a plastic spoon in there.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Essentially, it has become gourmet now. I mean, there are some incredibly posh currywurst doing the rounds in certain German hostelries these days. So, yeah, all good. And, what can I say? All great food of that nature should have a euphoric high as you eat it, and then just at least 5 minutes after you've eaten it where you think that was truly terrible. I mean, the masters of this are both kebab vendors and KFC. No other company manages to make you feel quite as dirty as KFC does after you've eaten one.
I know, and with a healthy meat like chicken as well, you think, how the hell do you manage to absolutely...
They found a way, yeah.
Bizarrely, KFC is the traditional Christmas lunch in Japan these days.
It is.
There you go.
I was really amazed with that, but when I did my tour of Osaka, we were told all about it, and I thought, oh, you're having me on. And then I checked it out, and actually it's absolutely bang on. It's true. That's what they do. They order it in advance as well for Christmas Day.
Power of marketing.
Well, seemingly the Japanese think it's a Western thing that we all do.
Yeah, but they marketed it as a Christmas meal, as something that, yeah, that we would do.
So it's just... the internet.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot to be said for the three-piece variety. I mean, that really does induce a feeling of proper dirtiness after you've eaten it. So
yeah, it does.
You know.
Anyone that talks to
me about KFC burgers, I mean, you are missing the point. It should be about large pieces of dirty chicken. That's kind of how it works. You know, the burgers are just window dressing.
Large pieces of dirty chicken. There's your tagline for the podcast.
If they're going to do that, can we at least all get an all-breast bucket on
you do that as well, do you? I do that. So, well, we used to do that. Me and my flatmate, it was like all we'd eat was drumsticks or breasts. So we used to go into KFC and demand that we have it. And this last one said, no, you can't demand. She said, well, I'm a customer. I am demanding that. I want that. And she wasn't going to serve us. So we stood arguing for 10 minutes pissed about how we wanted drumsticks and breasts.
If it's a Christmas thing in Japan, I wonder if they'd do an advent calendar.
When I was working full time for Hi-Fi Choice, when we were on press day, we would have a press day KFC, and we'd draw lots as to who the loser was to go down and get it, because you had to insist on an all breast bucket, and then ask for 50 wet wipes, and you know, just ridiculous things.
Right, it's the big meal for one where you go in, and you say, can have a couple of breasts for that.
Well, we're actually, in my halls of residence, we used to do the family feast challenge, where you try and eat a family feast each. And actually, the chicken isn't the difficult bit. It's the Viennetta that gets you every time. So, yeah. Those were more innocent times where I had higher metabolism and consumed other things that helped. So, yeah.
You wonder why we're in the state we're in now.
And heart disease and diabetes were a long way away, weren't they, back then?
I don't have either of those yet. I need to whistle, sorry.
Yeah, they're in the post.
They're in the post. Although I haven't had an alcohol drink since last Saturday. So, you know, this is new, healthy me. God, it's dull.
Yeah, it's. I'm really struggling now that the weather's changed. I'm really struggling to get out and do the walking. You know, I was doing 4 or 5 miles a day. That's dropped off a cliff, especially with the snow yesterday as well. I mean, that was almost like the thing out there yesterday.
Yeah. Although that said, you burn off a lot of energy walking in snow. You wouldn't have to do 5 miles. A mile walking in deep snow is a pretty heavy calorie burner, even before you take into account lower temperatures and all the rest of it. So
a mile in deep snow is like about 300 yards on a shingle beach.
Oh yeah, I mean, we're doing degrees of awkward walking, so I agree.
Welcome along to the UK's premier technology podcast. This is the podcast.
We'll cut bits of it out.
Shall we do some hardware news or competitions? Let's do some competitions. Okay. Mr. Buttright, tell us all about it.
Can you throw to someone else? I haven't got my glasses here.
Well, we haven't heard Hodge yet. Hodge is here, I think.
I am here. I just don't eat KFC, so I couldn't join in with that last segment.
Ooh.
Do you go for the rip-off? The you know, like the perfect fried
Alan's
chicken.
Yeah.
The guy I was going to ask, is it for moral reasons? 0-star
hygiene rating. Do you want me to crack on with these competitions?
Yeah, cool.
Okay. We got War for the Planet of the Apes on Blu-ray, which closes on the 11th of December. We've got Colin McGregor. Who's Colin McGregor, Steve? Do you mean Conor McGregor?
Conor McGregor.
Unless it's a documentary about his brother.
Colin McGregor. just a random McGregor. Man in an office.
Notorious. It's only a name. And that closes on the 11th of December. And then we've still got the Dream Screen Smart Black Lighting Kit. It's actually a backlighting kit. And that also closes on the 13th of December. And we've got a Mio MiView C330 dash cam. And that also closes on the 13th of December. You've got to go for that Colin McGregor.
That's the Poundland version.
Some bloke called Colin McGregor gets booked for the next big world title MMA fight.
He's fighting someone called Frank Mayweather. Yeah.
Right, and any previous competition winners?
Colin McGregor. No.
Okay, that's competitions out of the way. So let's move on to hardware. We don't have any reviews. Well, we do have reviews, but we've got some more important things to talk about. And we promised you last week that we were going to go through our Editor's Choice Awards. We've had two more segments published. By the time you listen to this podcast, we will have. We don't at the exact moment in time, but we will have. Okay, so moving on to Best Home AV 2017, and this was another difficult one to go through because there's lots of different categories that we could have gone into. We could have had far more categories than we actually do. I guess this has been the main issue, Steve, certainly for us when we were planning this, was exactly how many categories we should have and how in-depth we should go with these. But I think we found the easiest was if it's just one category, where everything tends to be round about the same kind of money, it was one. And if it was an area where you had lots of products under a certain price and lots of products over a certain price, we split it in two.
Yeah, basically. And we tried to find a suitable splitting point where, you know, it would give a fair indication of a sub-certain point price bracket and then obviously a higher-end price bracket.
Yeah, so home cinema speakers, that's why we went with 17 grand. speakers. So first category we went straight against that philosophy straight away. So best home cinema speakers of 2017, we gave that to the M&K MP300s. I'm still using them as a reference set of speakers. They are absolutely blisteringly good, and up against the competition, well, they just swamp everything. Yes, they are expensive, really expensive when it comes to home cinema speakers, but you're getting that performance, and they are used in professional environments, and you can see why they're used in professional environments, because they have a really neutral sound. Yeah, you put crap in, you get crap out, basically. They don't cover up for bad sources. They give you everything that's in there, which is what professionals want to hear when they're mixing or dubbing or whatever. And arguably, it's what you want to hear at home if you want to hear exactly as it was intended. So yeah, absolutely cracking set of speakers there. So they get our Editor's Choice Award for Best Home Cinema Speakers 2017. Well done, MK. Right, Steve, Best AV Receiver.
Yeah, Best AV Receiver. We've gone with the Denon AVR X4400H, which I've got to say, if you're looking for a competitively priced but very competent and also feature-packed receiver, then this is the one for you. I've always thought that Denon deliver quality products year in, year out. Their AVRs are superb from the entry-level right up to the high-end stuff, absolutely superb across the board. They generally have plenty of power. This has got 9 channels built-in amplification, but it goes from sort of 7 up to 11 channels currently, depending on which model you choose. But this is the one we chose, 9 channels built-in amplification. Every feature you could possibly imagine, including a few that I didn't even think were possible, because this actually will have an upgrade next year, so that it will be able to do enhanced ARC, audio return channel, which means you can send lossless audio back to it from another source over HDMI. So that was a feature that I thought was only for HDMI 2.1, but apparently not. Apparently you can do so. It does show you that certain things that are technically under HDMI 2.1 possibly can also be done under HDMI 2.0, depending on what chipset they've used. And this is a good example. So it's going to have EARC next year. It's also got support for hybrid log gamma. It's got support for Dolby Vision. It's got support for HDR10. It's got wide color gamut support. So as a source for audio and video, you've got all your video sources can go through it. You're going to have no problems there. And in terms of audio, of course, you've got Dolby Atmos and you've got DTSX. And new this year, it comes with Auro 3D included free of charge as well. You used to have to pay for that in the past. So it's got every single sound format. It covers every single video format. It's nicely designed. It's got a really well laid out back panel for all your connections. It's got a well-designed remote control. It's got a great menu system. It's an absolutely cracking AV receiver with everything you could want, easy to set up, and it's my winner of Best AVR of 2017.
You tell Steve's been off for a week and hasn't probably been talking to many people.
If we're going to do all of these, Steve, you might want to
get
punchier.
Yeah, edit yourself. That'd be good. Yeah, give people something to go and read. So anyway, best soundbar under £1,000 for 2017. Really competitive market, this one. There's a soundbar for every pocket out there, every scenario. And we did include sound bases under the soundbar moniker here, basically because they're a dying breed, but still Some manufacturers are still producing them. Those are the ones that a TV sits on. So this was really quite difficult. We've seen plenty of these this year, but our choice went to the £299 Q-Acoustics M3, and basically because it really lived up to the Q-Acoustics brand trend, which is high-performance audio at very, very reasonable outlay of money. And I have to say that the M3 did that. Really simple to use, really simple to set up, and the payoff was absolutely brilliant sound quality. So it wins our best soundbar under £1,000. And then our best soundbar, £1,000 and over, Steve.
Samson HWK950, which is their Dolby Atmos soundbar. So you get a full 5.1.4 Atmos system. You've got the three channels at the front, subwoofer, wireless sub, got two upward firing drivers at the front, and you've also got two wireless rear speakers with upward firing drivers as well. So genuinely a full 5.1.4 Dolby Atmos setup, bouncing the sounds off the ceiling, obviously. A lot of the soundbars you'll see, you know, claim to deliver this sort of thing, but a lot of it's done via bouncing sounds from the front, or they're just like a sort of a 3.1.2 system where it's all at the front, and you tend to find, you know, there's no sense of immersion. But this is a proper 5.1.4 system, and it works excellently, and it's really well made and really well designed. Plenty of features, lots of HDMI connections. I love it. So that's my winner.
Okay, so that's the soundbars out of the way. So moving on swiftly with the remaining Home AV Awards. Best subwoofer 2017. It's one of these products that when you find the one that's going to match in with your system, your room, and what you need, you tend to hold on to them for quite some time. How old are your subwoofers, Steve?
5 or 6 years, I think, at least.
Really? Not as long as that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's 3 years old.
I'm without a subwoofer these days, I'm afraid.
Okay.
It's about 10 years old. It's on the landing at the minute.
I'm not sure that's the best place to put it, Mark.
It's not. It's not
wide field.
Okay, so yes, it's one of those areas where certainly going by those of us on the podcast, we don't change our subwoofers very often once we've found decent ones. I'm assuming everybody's running one. Steve, you running one or two?
Two.
Okay, and I'm running four. One in every corner. Yeah, you got to do that. Plus one in the living room as well, so it's on a different system. Anyway, so our choice of best subwoofer 2017 was?
The SVS SB16 Ultra, which is uses a, well, the SB, so sealed box, and 16-inch driver. So it's not a small sub, have to be said, but an absolutely stonking performer. You know, it can go really, really low, but in a nice controlled fashion. Nice, responsive, really responsive, tight, fast bass. You can control it from your phone, which is really great for sitting there in the sweet spot and controlling the sub. Yeah, it's a cracking sub, beautifully made, looks gorgeous, and that's our winner this year for Best Subwoofer of 2017.
Best Subwoofer. Right, okay, Best 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray Player. All of them, really. I don't think there's a bad one out there. So find your budget and pick one that suits you. But if you were twisting our arm, basically, and asking us what would be our absolute best player of the year, not necessarily in terms of picture quality, because, like we say, you know, as long as it's doing it right and it's showing what's on the disc, that's all you can ask of the player, and they all look absolutely bang on the same. So it's other things that you add into that, like build quality, like audio side of things, like your video scaling and video processing, and I don't think there's any surprise here that we give it to the Oppo 2 or 3, Steve.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, it's not the cheapest. It's not the most expensive either, I should point out, but it's not the cheapest. £649, but it looks nice. It's well made. It's absolutely a flawless performer in terms of Ultra HD Blu-ray playback. It's got really good scaling. It's got analog outputs. It's got twin digital outputs. You can use it as an AV scaler and processor. It's got an HDMI input as well. It's got well-designed remote control, good menu system. It includes Dolby Vision. It does everything, basically, and therefore it's our winner of the Best Ultra HD Blu-ray Player for 2017.
Yeah, what's the big selling point about the HDMI input?
Well, it just means you can use it as a... You could say you've got something else, another source. You can use the scaling, which, and deinterlacing and scaling in this player, which is really, really good, by the way. You can use that instead of using it in the TV, for example, if you wanted to. So you can send it through the player.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. It can work. I mean, it's obviously you're going to get one input, so it's a bit limited, but it's just a nice little feature to have if you ever needed it for some reason. Maybe you've got limited inputs on the TV and you could run an extra thing through the Oppo. So yeah, that's another thing you could do.
The only drawback with the Oppo is that if you're using it in your system, you are going to need to add a media box if you want streaming services, 4K streaming services. It's the only thing it doesn't do, which is a shame. But then they have concentrated more on the actual player and what it does in terms of video and audio and so on. So,
and in fairness, what you're saying there is perhaps specific to projector users, because most televisions seem to come with them the services stacked anyway.
I was going to say, aren't we kind of getting to the point now where it's almost like, you know, it's not really a minus point because the TVs are so well equipped.
I didn't say it was a minus point. I'm saying the only thing it doesn't do, which would mean you add in a separate box. So you could take that as a negative or you could take that as a positive, I suppose. I wasn't really having a downer on it because I'm running an Oppo player and I'm really happy with it.
Yeah, just plug the Roku streaming stick into that HDMI input on the back.
Yeah, that's the trick. You can do that, yeah, absolutely. Or use a spare Samsung UHD player that you've got hanging around, which is what I do.
It's amazing.
They are particularly good at that, it has to be said.
I think that is in the unique category of real world solutions and reviewer solutions.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the fact that I use a £400 Pioneer portable audio player entirely as a remote control for my streamer.
Yeah, okay, so best 4K UHD Blu-ray player is the Oppo UDP203. And then quickly, just a roundup on home AV. We've got best game console. It's best AV game console, Xbox One S, basically because it does everything a games console should do, but it's also got a 4K Blu-ray player in there, which offers really good video and audio performance, so it got our badge. We do know that there are now other consoles out there, but it had to be something that we'd reviewed for it to be in the awards. That's why the Xbox One S is there. Best Blu-ray disc of 2017, Steve?
It's been a good year for Blu-rays, as always, but I think one release stood head and shoulders over everything else that came out this year in terms of picture quality and features and extras, and was just an absolutely spectacular package. And that's The Thing. They did an absolutely bang-up job in terms of remastering. They did a full restoration of 4K of the camera negative and then delivered a superb image picture in terms of color timing, as it was overseen by both the director and the director of photography. And basically a fantastic transfer in terms of picture quality, and also options in terms of soundtracks. You could use the 5.1 soundtrack. There was also a 4.1 soundtrack based upon the original 70mm mix as well, plus a Dolby surround soundtrack. So you had options of all different types of soundtracks. You could go purist or you could go for different approaches. And it had some really good extras as well, including a feature-length documentary about the making of the film. And, absolutely cracking Blu-ray release.
And to wrap up Home AV, we go to the newest format on the block in terms of disc, and that is 4K UHD Blu-ray. And there's been some cracking discs come out this year on the format, some really, really good stuff. But we've again gone for a film that came out in 1982.
It's a good year, 1982, isn't it? The Thing and Blade Runner. Absolutely fantastic disc. This film had a full restoration in 2007, done at 4K. They did the effect shots, which were shot on 65mm 8K as well. So it's a proper 4K image. The addition of HDR and the wider color gamut really makes it, it's like seeing it for the first time, watching it sometimes. Comes with a Dolby Atmos soundtrack as well, which is really good, and a whole host of extras. The only thing the disc is missing, this set's missing that was released previously, was the work print version. So if you've got the 2007 release with the work print, you probably want to keep that, but otherwise everything else is there. The Dangerous Days documentary, three other versions of the film on Blu-ray, but the Ultra HD Blu-ray version of Blade Runner is absolutely stellar and is our winner.
Okay, so that's our best of Home AV for 2017. Like I say, if you're wondering why products that you like are not in there, the criteria basically had to be that these were items that had been reviewed by us over the last 12 to 18 months, and that they had to be currently available as part of our official product range from a manufacturer. That's our Home AV Awards for 2017. And moving on to the Hi-Fi Zone. So settle back, people. Get your pipes out. Smoking jacket on, slippers on, sit in that lovely leather sofa or leather chair that you've had for 40-odd years. That's
wing back.
Yeah. And indulge in some vinyl. because we're heading over to Ed. So, Ed, let me just open up Best Hi-Fi of 2017. Is this the same as the Best Hi-Fi in 1917?
Look, here's the thing. I'm proud to say that we went by the same criteria for the awards. You oversaw it. You made sure exactly the same things. Actually, I didn't even go to 18 months. All of these things have been reviewed in the last 12. They're all currently available. And yes, it is highly likely that many of them will still be available when we're doing the awards 2019 and so on and so forth. But it's not a bad thing. It's a reflection of the fact that we've got all of our ducks in a row and technology is where it needs to be. Nonetheless, it's been a cracking year for stuff. So you can either be rude to me or we can discuss some of the lovely, lovely things that we've given awards to.
Oh, is that a choice?
Yeah, I was rude. Okay, we're running out of time, so let's stick on subject. We can be rude to Ed later on. So, best hi-fi speaker, under £1,000, Ed.
Yeah, cheapest speaker we looked at all year. In fact, the Mission LX2, right at the start of the year. Mission had been really quiet for a number of years since being purchased by IAG, but now the full resources of IAG have been thrown at the business of making an affordable speaker, and it's bloody marvellous. The LX2 is the cheapest speaker I've tested in a very long time, where you sit down and listen to it, and provided you've paid even just the remotest bit of attention to what you connect to it, it will sound excellent. At that price point, there is just nothing that has the same balance of joy, accuracy, and just general performance quality. A worthy award winner.
Okay, and that's far more than the four lines that Ed's actually written in his article. So there you go. You got bonus material by listening into the podcast here, Piero. So I guess the next one has to be the best hi-fi speaker, £1,000 and above, Ed.
Yeah, this wasn't the toughest one to decide. Q Acoustics, normally a budget speaker manufacturer, but they've thrown their hands into making a more expensive loudspeaker. The Concept 500 is just an outstanding product. The only proviso that you need to make in terms of selecting it is that you need to have a bit of space for it, and you need to have top quality partnering equipment. If you humor it with those things, it does things that no other £4,000 speaker I've yet listened to can get anywhere near. It is just outstanding.
Certainly well over £1,000 there then, at £4,000, which for Q Acoustics is out of their comfort zone as well, Ed.
It is, but the actual physical construction and quality of the speaker, you don't feel shortchanged. And just as I say, to find a speaker which definitively outperforms it, you are looking at adding at least another £3,000. Certainly in the conditions in which I've tested it. So, you know, that's all I'm saying. You know, you may subjectively prefer a rival, but in an objective sense, this is a truly outstanding loudspeaker.
And I guess when it comes to hi-fi, this is essential, a turntable these days. You're not hip if you don't have a turntable. So there's plenty out there, which seems strange for 2017, that there's plenty of turntables out there for you to choose from. There was a time in the late 90s and early 2000s where you never saw a turntable. It was something you bought second hand. So best turntable under £1,000 in 2017, Ed, is
Project Essential 3. Had a bit of an R over this one. There are some other candidates that we looked at over the 18-month scale, but the Essential 3, and I think I've said this in an earlier podcast, this is the most affordable turntable I know of, which you can buy. It performs superbly out of the box, but it's got a bit of stretch in there if you want to tweak it, do some upgrades, so on and so forth. Project essentially took everything that was right with the Essential 2 and then dealt with all of the bits that were less desirable. It is a sensationally good product for the asking price. And that asking price hasn't gone up despite all of the messing about the currencies and the rest of it. It remains a stone-cold bargain. And if you really want to get started into vinyl, that's the best place to start looking.
How much is it?
£239.
Mm,
okay. So well under the £1,000 that we set there. So best turntable, £1,000 and above, Ed. And this is a controversial one, this one.
This one was harder to work out because in many ways the Technics SL1200GR had many of the arguments. In the end, I went with the Riga Planer 6, despite As someone will inevitably point out in the comments, if you buy it without a cartridge, it costs less than £1,000. But we have given it as the Planar 6 and Anya cartridge as sold together by Riga, because for £1,398, I simply do not know of a higher performing analog front end. It is a real taste of what analog is capable of at an almost sensible price point. I mean, you know, it's still, when we step outside of our comfort zone, that's still quite a lot of money, but it's just ridiculously good. I ended up living with a Planar 6 for quite a long time because it was here when I broke my leg, and I couldn't put it back in its box because that's a surprisingly complicated business, and I certainly couldn't set up another turntable. So I spent the best part of 2 months with it as my main vinyl front end, and it was fantastic all the way through that. It's a genuinely sensational product.
But ugly.
It's not Riga's prettiest effort. But there is a reason it's that colour. That it's a, you know, it's down to the materials that have been used. It's one of those things. It's, yeah, ironically, it's not as pretty as its little brother, the Planar 3, but it is better, a lot better.
Okay, so that's turntables taken care of. If we want to move into, you know, where we are now, 2017, and some new products. The big trend this year, Ed, has been all-in-one systems. It seems that all the major hi-fi manufacturers have suddenly cottoned on that, well, in the days of digital audio and streaming and so on, we don't necessarily need to have separate sources.
No, absolutely not. And as I've said in a couple of these things now, there is a strong argument with a number of these all-in-one systems that there is simply nothing. I cannot recommend you a selection of separate equipment for the same price that does the amount of things that these things do as well as they do it. You know, so the compelling argument for separates has been essentially partly nullified by how good some of these things are. And one of the products that just took that idea and ran with it was the Name Unity Atom. Effectively, let's save some time here. We looked at a lot of £3,000 plus all-in-one systems over the last 12 to 18 months. The Name is £1,500, and it goes toe-to-toe with those. It is an absolutely outstanding product. It sounds phenomenal. It's a fabulous piece of industrial design. It's got the features which are genuinely real-world and useful. And it's just a lovely, lovely thing to actually use as well. It's a really cracking product.
Okay, and if we do want to go separate wise, you'll need an amplifier, and then your sources added onto that. So, still a big market for amplifiers. So, what was our favourite of 2017?
This is a weird one because I have recently actually just rushed through a clutch of extra amplifier reviews, but this stands. I was expecting very little from this product because I didn't know whether it was a DAC with an amplifier added or what, but the Audiolab M1 is our amplifier of 2017 because it's bloody marvellous. It sounds superb. And that's whether you're using analog inputs or the incredibly good digital stage that's in there as well, which means that you don't have to go in for as much source equipment. And then it just keeps on giving, cracking headphone output. And it, you know, it's beautifully made. It doesn't take up a huge amount of room. It is a genuinely joyous product to listen to and own. Thoroughly recommended. Completely, somewhat unexpected as well, because I've not historically been an enormous fan of the Audiolab brand. So no, that was a genuine surprise, and you know, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Cannot recommend it highly enough.
And for antisocial people like yourself, let's move on to best headphone of 2017.
Yes, actually, we didn't review as many headphones this year, but one that stood out as being the Audio Technica SR9. ATH SR9, I should say, that stood out because it did all the things that I expect an Audio-Technica headphone to do. It sounds excellent, it's beautifully made, it's comfortable to wear, but then it did some things I didn't expect an Audio-Technica headphone to do, in so much as it's not got any weird protuberances, it's not massive, it doesn't have just weird random bits of design weirdness. It is a headphone that you can use without any issue, day in, day out. Film, TV, music, what have you, on the move, at home, it just delivers, and it just does it without asking anything demanding of you, the listener. It's a peerless product.
Of course, with the future comes real complications, Ed, and comes with a lot of crossover products. And this is why we've named this category Best Digital Product, because a lot of these products are really, really difficult to nail down and actually say exactly what they are. So let's go with Best Digital Product under £1,000 in 2017. And your choice for this was...
The Meridian Explorer 2. Again, one of the most cost-effective products we tested all year. But ironically, actually a couple of days ago, I was still using an Explorer because Tidal have recently really expanded their selection of masters, the MQA masters. And I was using the Explorer 2 because it's got native MQA conversion. And do you know what? At the moment, there are, at the time of speaking about this, there are a couple of deals where it's about £100 for an Explorer 2. And that is ridiculous value for money. It sounds sensational for that. And if you've got a Tidal subscription and you don't have an Explorer 2, just as, you know, even if you have more expensive products, it's worth having one simply because Meridian's relationship with MQA is the tightest of the lot. They are two cheeks of the same ass, for want of a better description. And that is just, it's a if you like, it's a just a peerless technology demonstrator. It's a cracking little thing.
Okay, I love your way with words, Ed. And best digital product, £1,000 and over.
Yes, this wasn't so hard to choose. The Hugo 2 does everything that the original Hugo did, and the original Hugo remains a monumentally good product. What Hugo 2 does is it, again, like the Audio-Technica, it tones down the weirdness. It's much more user-friendly. Cord has better thought out how you might use its functionality. And it just sounds ridiculously good. I said in the original review, if you prefer something else, all that is basically a subjective preference for coloration or a slightly different sort of presentational style, it is a ferociously accurate product and just sounds truly outstanding. You know, obviously I love my vinyl and all the rest of it, but just it staggers me just how good digital can be if the material has been sympathetically handled and then you've got good decoding for it. You don't need to spend as much as the Hugo 2, but if you have got the wherewithal to do so, you will not be disappointed.
Okay, that's just about all for the Hi-Fi of the year, apart from your product of the year. And when it came to doing the categories, Ed, a lot of the thought with the categories was that we didn't want the same product winning over and over and over again, because that's pretty boring. We want to not necessarily spread the love, but we want to give people enough choices in various areas for them to actually go away and think about what it is that they're going to buy, rather than us just saying this product here is the absolute best and nothing else measures up, because that's not true. There's no one product that suits absolutely everybody. It's the same with TVs, it's the same with hi-fi, it's the same with home AV. There's lots of different products that fit different niches, that fit different lifestyles and different ways of doing things. So you're not going to have one product to rule them all. But in your case, you do.
Not exactly. Obviously, there are lots and lots of different categories. But as I say in the copy, I've only given one perfect score this year. I've only given one reference badge this year. Which meant
Was it to pork scratchings?
Well, I haven't reviewed them yet. That's a Christmas thing. Ultimately, I couldn't not give the Cue Acoustics Concept 500 product of the year, because it is, you know, as you... In jest, I know, but we have to be completely honest. I deal almost exclusively in mature categories. It's very rare that something comes along where you sort of think, actually, this is shifting and changing the rules of the game. But that product, the Concept 500, genuinely does change the rules of the game. It takes technology we haven't seen before, or rather uses existing technology in a way we haven't seen before to create a speaker, which, you know, again, this comes down to, you know, I don't have a Rec 2020 standard to work off, but my God, I have seen measured performance responses from the Concept 500, and they are truly outstanding. This is, in every sense of the word, a reference product, and I stand by its perfect review, and I... Well, you know, and that's why it is my product of the year. I mean, ironically, yesterday, another product arrived, and I'm not saying anything more about it at the moment, another product arrived where I am now going, will have to scratch around going, I need to try and find something wrong with this product, because it is, again, by all measurable sense of the word, perfect. So it happens at once a year or so, because it was only 11 months ago that the Concept 500 turned up for review. So if I see one perfect product a year, I'm happy with that.
Okay, so that's it for our Editor's Choice this week. Still to come, Editor's Choice-wise, we have Best Projectors of the Year, split into different categories there. So that is upcoming probably in the next week. We'll probably talk about that next week's podcast. We'll probably wrap up on everything, because we've also got AV streaming services and devices. So Hodge is going to have to be on next week's podcast for that one, because that's his department. You going to be here, Hodge?
Yeah, I might speak as well.
Okay. And wrapping up the Editor's Choice Awards for 2017 will also be Best Tech and Mobile, which is quite a short category to get through. Although it'll be Steve presenting that one, so we might be here for an hour. Who knows? So that's all coming up in next week's podcast. And keep an eye on the homepage, because we will be publishing those probably before we go to air or at the same time. Right, so moving on, it's movie news next. So moving on to movie news, I have to say that Odeon managed to get $17.99 out of me in November. Oh no, they didn't. I went to the cinema.
No, you went to see. You saw Justice League.
I'd rather forget about it. I'd rather just give them the money. Actually,
I saw it too at last week.
What? Even after I my review, you went and seen it.
Yep, absolutely. I had to see what happened, because it's like watching a train crash. It's brilliant, because they clearly shot one film and then try to turn it into something else.
Exactly.
And very badly, I might add. Yeah. Because Zack Snyder, you know, shot this. They went into production the same month that Batman vs. Superman came out. And obviously, they had script written, they had cast everything, they'd done all the production design, the costume design, they went in. It was a full-on Zack Snyder film, lots of dark stuff, lots of rain, lots of, you know, grim and everything, and all the things people hated about Batman vs. Superman. And they've obviously panicked and thought, oh, bugger. So obviously, Zack Snyder had to leave for personal reasons, but they brought in Josh Whedon, who's gone and you know, jazzed it all up a bit. And they've clearly changed the colour timing. The whole scenes that were shot at night and now appeared to be during the day. They've dropped whole plot lines. I'm pretty sure there was a whole bad Superman section in a black suit that was been completely dropped. They changed the colour timing and raised the brightness levels in the film so it didn't look all dark like Batman vs Superman. But the costumes have clearly been designed to be seen in certain lighting conditions and looked really weird when they were brightly lit, particularly Batman, just because there was lots of patches all over his suit. You're thinking, where are they? But you realise they wouldn't have been quite the same in a much darker scene. It was just very weird. And obviously, every time there's a gag lobbed in, that's clearly meant to be Joss Whedon. Yeah, it was, and then to really rub salt into the wounds of DC, yesterday the first trailer came along for Avengers Infinity War, and that looks epic. So, yeah, oh dear.
So you liked it then?
It was awful. It was just so boring and generic and pointless.
Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't the only one, because you read the thread, and I know movies are very, very personal, and people have they like different things and all the rest of it. But I was reading some comments in there, and I'm thinking, did we see the same film? You know, and I suppose, you know, with stuff like Star Wars and all the rest of it, we kind of forgive a little bit more than somebody that'd be a little bit more critical, I think. So even taking that on board, you know, that people would be fans of the franchises and so on, I still couldn't get over the way some people were sticking up for it, because it was almost like, I didn't see that film. You're making things up there, because that wasn't what was on screen. So yeah, it's a very, very strange film. And it looks like Odeon are going to get quite a bit of business out of me this month.
What, are you going to go over and over again?
13 days to two showings on the first day, midnight and 4 p.m. Although the midnight showing, I won't be going if it's snowing. So if this weather continues, I won't be going for the midnight screening. But yeah, I'm booked in for midnight and 4 p.m. You?
Midnight. Just the ones at the moment. We'll see if it looks good, I'll go back.
It's possible.
You're going to see it at least three or four times. And we're going to check out the Dolby Vision cinema in Vegas and see if it's playing there as well.
First thing we do when we land, basically.
Yeah, you know that's going to happen.
Well, we need to go straight away, because last year, well, at the beginning of this year, should I say, our plan was to go and see Rogue One. And unfortunately, we just missed it, and they'd replaced it with Underworld Blood Wars. So yeah. That was very disappointing.
I'm far less bothered by it this time around, because obviously you get to do this before I turn up. So that's excellent.
Yeah, we do it well before you turn up, Ed. Right, okay. So yes, Star Wars is this month. I don't think there's anything else to talk about, really. When it comes to movies, we could just finish the podcast now, can't we?
Well, you haven't even mentioned, because you texted me a number, a running time, didn't you? In the week, I was like, what? Was it 2 hours and 32 minutes?
Yes, 2 hours, 32 minutes, and it's a 12A certificate.
That's The Last Jedi, for those of you wondering what Phil's talking about. Is that the longest Star Wars film ever? 2 hours and 32 minutes? That seems quite long.
I don't know. Mark can go and quickly check on IMDb.
Check all seven of them and see if any of them are longer than 2 hours. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the longest. That's a hefty running time, isn't it? 2.5 hours.
It is, but you know it's just going to fly by.
Yeah.
Attack of the Clones was 2 hours 22. So yeah.
I think that was the longest before. So yeah.
Felt like longer, didn't it?
I did. It felt like an eternity.
So that's coming out in 2 weeks' time. So
13 days.
13 days. So yeah,
and releases that's 13 days from today. So when people listen to this, it'll be less than that.
Yeah, when they listen to this, we'll be going to see it a week on Wednesday.
At midnight, yeah.
I'm not getting anywhere near it. If I'm lucky, I'll get to see it before Christmas. So
surely we'll see it on your birthday, Ed. Ed's birthday being it's the 18th, isn't it?
It is, but I'm... treat. No, I'm going down to a pleasant hotel in Dorset for a treat.
Oh, whereabouts?
Sherburn. So I think without no disrespect to Star Wars, but I kind of like the idea of that. So, but no, if I get back and I can find a slot, I'll see what I can do. But
well, Ed, it'll be on every cinema, and it's starting. I think it starts every half hour.
If you go to cinema, it's the only thing you can go and see.
I don't doubt that. So, but it does mean going to the cinema.
Yeah.
Oh. Sorry,
you managed to do it for Blade Runner. Come on,
I did, but thankfully that was empty.
Well, see, Ed, looking at this, there was a big panic on with the tickets going on sale and all the rest of it, and Limitless cards not working, and panic and all the rest. Yeah. I've been and had another look this week just to see how busy the screens are and how many people have actually booked in, and it's been shown that many times certainly at the Odeon and the Metro Centre, it's been showing that many times during the day that you could generally pick a screen and there'll be about three of you in it.
Yeah, well, we'll see how we go. I do want to see it. I need to warn you now, I won't be, actually, to be honest, I'm not in the 15th podcast. I need to speak to you about that anyway, but I wouldn't be participating anyway, but I won't have seen it by that point. So, because I've got child minding during Christmas concerts, because I know how to have a good time.
I have no plans, yeah. I will go and see it. I've just got no plans to that far ahead.
What, 13 days ahead?
Yeah, that's a long way.
When you're dealing with small children, you know, that's second guessing a lifetime, mate. You know, who knows what ailments they'll have by that stage.
Like I would say, no great plans to see it, but I'll just see how it goes, really. I want to hear more about what technological kind of AV equipment Ed's using for purposes that they weren't designed for, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that's a bit yeah. more. Yeah, I actually think that's a bit more interesting than the films coming out this Friday, which are Stronger and Better Watch Out, by the way. If anybody is in the
yes.
the least bit interested, right, Sid.
Oh, sorry, you've caught me on the bounce here, but
are you using a £1,000 turntable as a Lazy Susan or something?
What's a Lazy Susan?
It's the Chinese restaurants, you know, where you put the plates in the middle.
Ah,
of
all right.
It wouldn't be a terribly, there wouldn't be a terribly good Lazy Susan. All right, okay, yes. This one will incur. You'll mock me for this one, no doubt. At the moment, I have had to do a review for print magazine of a big sort of shielded and protected mains block. As a result of that, a mains conditioning unit which I have in my system all the time, has had to come out so this block can come in. Never want to miss an opportunity. My wife is currently using a £1,300 hi-fi mains conditioner to run Christmas lights in the conservatory.
Do they run well?
Oh, you should the see them. So beautiful. Just the colours are vibrant and there's absolutely no flickering or interference. But yes, there's a £1,300 mains conditioner being used to run Christmas lights in my house at the moment.
I've got two Freeview PVRs stacked on top of each other so I can put a TV on top of it in the bedroom so we can see it.
And, is this what happens to all those little Android boxes you get, Hodge?
Yeah, used to prop up tables. They're too small to put a TV on. They're just in the loft in a massive pile.
I suppose the other one, it's not so much misuse of equipment, but it is systemic of how I live these days. I was at the Soft Play Centre on a Saturday morning a couple of weekends ago, and I had my laptop out, sitting on a pair of earphones. A guy sat down next to me, and he was going to do some work, and he got his phone out, and he reached into his bag, and he hadn't remembered his earphones. And you might imagine Saturday in a Soft Play Centre, the look on his face was one of desolation. So I said, do you need to borrow a pair of earphones? And he goes, yeah, but I've only got my iPhone. It's only got a lightning connector. I said, don't worry. My spare pair comes. So he goes, what? So you bring two pairs? I go, yeah, at least. And he goes, and one of them has a lightning connector. And he goes, I went, yeah. And it was actually the Audacy iZines that I've reviewed for AV Forums. And we've got the app downloaded to get it running on the lightning cable. And he was listening and goes, I don't want to ask. It's like, how much are these? And I go, with the lightning cable, they're about £400. He goes, and these are your spare pair. I went, well, yeah, it depends which ones I'm using at the time. And he goes, how many do you have? And I go, I don't know.
Yeah. So you're the type of person who buys mug trees to store headphones.
Yes, mug trees to store headphones. And
counted how many headphones you've got?
Well, no, because it does. They tend to pass through, so to speak. I do also have a novelty metal bucket of earphones, and I have a special cabinet that my wife found in a charity shop, which has it was originally part of a jeweler's display, so it's got a slide out wooden section which I used to keep cartridges and head shells on.
I do want to point out to our D listeners at the minute that ask people who review projectors, TVs, AVRs, speakers, subwoofers, and so on, all that equipment goes back. We do not hang on to any equipment.
Thank God.
I don't want people thinking that we hang on to gear and it's abused and used for the wrong purposes and all this. That's not the case. What you're usually talking about are products that
have been in direct human contact with the reviewer, and yes, given that we're all unhygienic and unpleasant, do you really want my sloppy earphone seconds? The answer is no, you don't.
I just thought I'd better answer that, Greg, because that was going to be the first thing that would get
absolutely
posted.
However, I would like to add a caveat to this, which I don't know if you guys have heard. The larger and more cumbersome an object is, the harder it can frequently be to get the manufacturer to take it back off you.
Never had that issue.
The issue
we normally have, and Steve, I haven't done a TV in a while now, and projectors are really quite easy to put back in boxes, but TVs, there's definitely an art form, because you're talking about a product that's only designed to be unpacked once. It's never been in the packaging's never been designed to be reused.
Oh yeah, one shot packaging.
And when it comes to TVs or really expensive equipment, the one I'm thinking about was a NAD AV processor, beautiful packaging and all the rest of it, but it just fell to bits when you tried to put it all back together again, because it was only designed to ever be taken out of the box once. So, that's really is the bane of Steve's life at the minute. It used to be the bane of my life when we reviewed TVs, especially flight cases. I mean, where the hell do you put a flight case in a house? Yeah. But it becomes a bit of a krypton factor thing. In fact, I think we should start videoing them just to see how long it
actually takes. Videoing the, not unboxing, but the reboxing.
The reboxing video.
Because what you'll see is a very impatient courier outside the front door as I stand there with one piece in my hand thinking, where the hell does this bit go?
And it's normally the stands. A TV stand is nice and easy to put together, but whoever creates these things, the only think about putting it together the one time. They never think about taking it a bit to bits again, and then where did that bit go, and where did that bit of polystyrene go, and what's this? We always managed it in the end, though. It would always be a challenge, but we always managed it.
Yeah, I have to be honest. There's a speaker package review which is in limbo, which I've done for AVF, and I actually had to resort to ringing up the manufacturer to ask how to get those back into the box. And they go, the answer is you're not supposed to. It's one trip packaging. But if you absolutely need to, we find that ramming an umbrella into the end of the box to move the polystyrene liners and then just sort of dropping the speaker in is the best you can do. It's like, thanks, that's good. That sounds excellent.
I like that they stipulated umbrella, like they tried several things beforehand.
Well, the irony is actually I ended up using one of the crutches that I still had lying around. But the to be fair, people are more likely to have an umbrella kicking about than they are a crutch, you know, provided that you can like walk and use steps, unlike me. So, but yeah, it's the nature of things, you know. Packaging is expensive, and the drop tests that you go through now are quite significant undertakings, and the easiest way to pass it is with one trip packaging, because packaging that will survive multiple drop tests is really quite spendy. So, you know, that's the sad truth of it.
What, do they have a yodel proof packaging?
There is no such thing as yodel proof packaging.
I didn't think there was.
You could get NASA involved, and there'd still be no chance.
You could make the most indestructible packaging and product known to man, and a yodel driver will have it knackered in 5 minutes.
Maybe that's how they test packaging these days.
Yeah,
they just send them through yodel.
Yeah. See what comes back.
Well, this is the old age-old thing of in the MOD, the idea of something being squaddy-proof, and it just doesn't. The concept is impossible. Nothing has ever been proven to be squaddy-proof. You know, in so much as whatever you think they're going to do to it, they're going to do something worse. There was one product where it was supposed to be, you know, it's like we've done it, and you know, this simply cannot be broken. And for whatever reason, people would, that squadron would end up chewing it when bored, and that would still kill it. So yeah, you know, there are certain tests which equipment cannot pass.
I still think though that the reboxing videos, there's some scope in that.
They'd have to be done to music or
no,
silence.
I'm thinking black and white, slow motion, Barber's Adagio for strings.
would work, because
the only thing you'd have to do there is pixelate the lips on the face, so you couldn't see what was actually being said.
Oh, I said all the colours of the. What was it I had to box the other day that was just...
Well, you see, what happened to me last weekend was I went to Scotland in the new car that had done less than 300 miles, and I managed to curb two alloys. And you know that noise that you hear with stone grinding on metal? And I invented swear words. In fact, you know, the heating was on in the car and the air conditioning was on in the car, and it still steamed up, significantly steamed up. And I was quite, you know, upset, but at the same time chuffed to bits that I had invented some new swear words when that happened.
Well, that's how these words come into being. They evolve when something like that happens.
I
like kind of generally go for like some kind of a portmanteau swear word these days. I like sticking them together, you know.
Yes, or turning them into verbs.
Yeah, yes.
Not really a swear word, but I quite like two cheeks of the same ass. That's a phrase I'm going to use.
You never know, Meridian might start using that on their packaging.
Are you getting your Christmas trees up, everyone except Phil?
Yeah, tomorrow.
I went
first
to yesterday.
Christmas fair to the, today, this afternoon.
Oh, lovely.
I usually wait until about 24th before getting all the decorations up.
But what's the point? Then you have to, then they're only up for about 11 minutes, and you have to go through the whole soul destroying business of taking them
down. Well, because it takes me about most of the year to bother sticking them back up in the loft.
Ah, right, I get you. Are you the person that has the skeleton of a Christmas tree in your garden until at least July?
Our neighbours have got one that's 25 foot tall.
There's something so sad about that, particularly when you see one on like Boxing Day.
Yeah.
You just think, Did you even wait until the presents were opened?
We just sparked it.
Take it out in the back garden and shoot it like Old Yeller.
Yeah. Well, I mean, are you the type of person that comes back from holiday, Mark, with your suitcases, and it takes you 3 months to unpack the suitcases?
I've still got Christmas wrapping paper in the corner of my room. At a given point, you think, right, well, now it's under 6 months to Christmas, so I may as well just keep it here.
Yeah. Used or on a roll?
No, on a roll.
It's not unwrapped paper and mounted in the corner. Yeah.
Well, I mean, saying that, I think I'm still on the same roll from 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I give people birthday presents wrapped in Christmas paper.
Mark sends products through the post with it just turned inside out, don't you, Mark?
Yeah. Ingenious.
Obviously, the nature of my birthday being when it is, on two occasions now, my brother has sent me a Christmas card with Christmas crossed out and birthday. Because he is a classy bastard.
I should do Christmas cards for both. So, there you go. It's one card.
Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday and Christmas.
Out, Ed. Yeah. To be fair, I can't complain. I mean, the absolute worst time to be born is between Boxing Day and the New Year, because no one
wants to be sober for that.
This is true. Although, actually, that's going to be an interesting one for me. I have to see where I go on the old sobriety business.
Basically, what I've done, Ed, is I've designed this new camera that you're going to be using at CES. It's basically the bit that holds it. It's like a beer can. So you basically just feel like you're carrying a beer can around, just so you feel at home.
But it will occasionally raise it to his head, though.
Occasionally, just like, you know, you'll just get crystal clear footage of it just raising randomly to the ceiling. You know, Pavlovian response, Phil. You know, we're going to have to try and undo 20 years of subconscious programming.
Yeah. Okay. Favorite spy movies, not including Bond. I'll have to think about that one. Hodge?
I rewatched Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy the other day. I thoroughly enjoyed that. I forget how good that film is.
Okay, it's good.
Thanks for that. Hodge, you changed your voice here. It sounded like Ed.
Brilliant impression, I can. Yeah. I don't know. Argo was a good. Was that a spy movie? That was quite good.
Yeah, that would count. Yeah.
39 Steps. That was good. Oof. I can't think of any more really. Other than Bond, that just comes into mind. I like the first Kingsman movie. That was entertaining. I'm sure we've done this before,
Mr. Butler. We probably have. It's.
I enjoyed The Good Shepherd. That was directed by Robert De Niro. That was going to become a series, I think. Yeah, it's got its problems, but I very much enjoyed that one. Go back a bit further to The Spy Who Came In From the Cold. You got all the Michael Caine as Harry Palmer movies. Oh, yeah. And if you want to go back even further, I still very much enjoy, I like all the old Basil Rathbone Sherlock Holmes films, and Sherlock Holmes in Washington. It's kind of 1943 propaganda era film, you know, obviously not based on the works of Arthur Conan Doyle, but I like any old black and white spy movie that has a microfilm, because that used to be just the key plot point for everything. Where's the microfilm gone, you know?
I
honestly genuinely think that the best spy film ever made, and keeping it in the same vein as Bond but being completely and utterly way jumping the shark, is True Lies.
Yes, I don't believe that's desperately representative of actual espionage, but it's a thoroughly enjoyable film.
I thought that was the point, was it not? I mean, if you want something that's gritty and realistic, then Munich.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
And then if you want something from the 50s to 60s, I'd probably say something like North by Northwest. I know it's a kind of mixed identity thing, but it's still based on the whole spy thing.
It's got spies in it. It's got spies in it.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen an aging Roger Moore try to jump a horse between two skyscrapers.
And on that equestrian bombshell. That's it for the podcast this week. My thanks to Steve Withers.
I don't hit senior citizens.
Mark Hodgkinson.
I'll be back to get my blender.
Ed Selly.
If you live another day, I'll be very impressed.
And Mark Butright.
Mummy, I want to go home.
Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook, bookmark AV Forums for the latest reviews, news and video, and of course leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes, but only if you've enjoyed the show. I'm Phil Hinton, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again next week.